I'd like to introduce John Nichols. John is going to be our keynote speaker this evening. He's a journalist and author of many books. Currently, he's the National Affairs Correspondent for The Nation and Associate Editor of the Cap Times. Let's give a round, warm welcome to John Nichols.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that people are spread all over here, and I think that's fabulous, especially a shout out to the good people up there on the bridge. Yeah. I am not going to give you a long, hey folks, I'm not going to give you a long speech tonight because there are more bugs than there are people, and we also have some lanterns to float. But I do want to do a couple things this evening that I think are important. First and foremost, I want to honor Physicians for Social Responsibility, the group that is at the core of organizing these activities. PSR has been organizing for peace and for nuclear disarmament for more than half a century, and they put the hard work into making events like this happen, not just in Madison, but across the country. They're often doing it in red states and difficult places where otherwise this message would not be heard. So, brothers and sisters, I know you applauded a second ago, but please let everybody from PSR know that you value what they have done here. Let me also shout out to my friends and comrades, although I am not a veteran, but to my friends and comrades in Veterans for Peace, the amazing group that organizes. These are people who fought in wars and came home and recognized that the great duty of a warrior is to recognize the possibility of peace. And Veterans for Peace works at that every day here in Madison. Again, I know you applauded initially, but please let all the Vets for Peace know that we value what they have done. There are many other groups that have sponsored this event, and many of them from religious and community backgrounds, multiracial, multi-ethnic, and they are all contributing to what's happening here tonight, bringing out one of the biggest crowds we have ever had for Lanterns for Peace. So you all know that 80 years ago today, an American B-29, the Enola Gay, flew over Hiroshima. And at about 8:30 in the morning, Hiroshima time, we always get different time frames for around the world. They dropped what at the time was the most powerful bomb ever made by a human being on a city of hundreds of thousands of human beings. The bomb was supposed to target a bridge in the center of the city. But bombs are never as accurate as they tell you. And so this bomb drifted as it came down, about 600 or 700 feet, so that its place of detonation was above Dr. Kanoshima's surgical hospital, a hospital where 80 people were working as doctors and nurses or were patients that day for important surgeries. Dr. Shima wasn't there that day. He was just outside Hiroshima caring for someone doing a surgery just a few miles away. When he came back, rushed back into the city after the bomb had dropped to immediately begin giving care to those who had survived a bombing that, in combination with the Nagasaki bombing, would cost as many as 250,000 lives immediately and over time. When he came back into the city to treat people, he didn't immediately go to his own hospital. He worked the neighborhoods, the streets of the city, through the night. But when he finally, the next day, got to his hospital, Dr. Shima's surgical hospital, in the center of Hiroshima, everything, all of his life's work, was gone. Absolutely obliterated. Everyone who had been there was gone. When the family of the nurses and doctors and patients who were there that day came to collect the bodies of the dead, Dr. Shima told them to just take a cup of dirt, take a cup of the ashes, because there were no bodies to take home. And he said, but somewhere amidst this, your loved one is burned alive, beyond recognition. And as he walked through the wreckage of his hospital, Dr. Shima found a surgical operating instrument. The only remainder of his life's work that could be found at the site of where there was a large hospital filled with people, filled with activity. One small instrument. And it was an instrument purchased in the United States. When Dr. Shima came to the United States to learn the techniques of the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, so that he could bring them to Japan. As an internationalist and a man of peace who believed that it was possible to cooperate across borders. He had spent much of his life in the United States and loved the United States. And here a bomb dropped from an American plane had destroyed everything that he had spent his lifetime building. He survived. In fact, he rebuilt the hospital just 3 years later. And when it was dedicated, he said, this hospital will now stand for eternity as a symbol of the desire for peace and for justice in this world. And brothers and sisters, we stand for peace and justice in this world, because we want a non-nuclear world where we disarm and we get rid of these weapons of mass destruction. And I have to tell you, just thinking about this amazing doctor, as I heard the drums tonight, I got a tear in my eye. Because the fact of the matter is, we are forever linked with Hiroshima. All of us, we Americans, are forever linked with Hiroshima and with Nagasaki because of what was done in our name. But I will remind you, in many cases, most cases, without our informed consent, the American people didn't know this was going to happen. Some people would support it. There's no question of that. Many would. Many would oppose it. But the bottom line is that what happened 80 years ago today showed us the reality of nuclear war. And instead of learning the lesson and to say never again, our error has been to allow the proliferation of nuclear weapons now to country after country after country around the world. We have not moved toward peace. We have had disarmament deals. We have had negotiations. We have had presidents and senators who have tried to move us toward peace. One of the greatest of them, Russ Feingold, who we should always remember because he made it central to his mission in Congress. But we are so far from peace today. I wish I could tell you we were just days away or weeks away. But we are so far from it. And it is important to understand, as a British parliamentarian pointed out today, the bombing of Gaza has, over time, involved five times as much the armaments that was dropped on Hiroshima. The bombing of Gaza, which has killed, the bombing of Gaza, the ground operations in Gaza, which have killed more than 55,000 people, again, on our watch, and I hope without our informed consent, because what's happening in Gaza is not just an affront to humanity. It is not just genocidal. It is a reminder of how far we have to go to become human beings. who care about other human beings. This is a moment where we should be pausing, thinking about what happened, but also never forgetting what is happening today in a part of the world where human beings are burying their children and starving to death because of horrific policies, many of which have been sustained by the United States. And I love this country, but I love it enough to say that there are times when it is fundamentally wrong, and it is fundamentally wrong when the United States does not lead the world toward peace in Gaza, in Somalia, in Sudan, in places around this planet. We are the wealthiest, most powerful country in the world, and we ought to not be spending our money to build bombs. We ought to be spending our money to get the food to the people who need it. No one needs to starve. No one needs to die for lack of basic resources. It happens because our priorities are wrong, and we gather tonight to say we intend to make our priorities right. Now, let me leave you with just one thought here tonight. And it's a different thought than I think many of you will imagine. I'm here tonight to talk to you about Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible. And you say, well, Mr. Nichols, I think we have more important things to discuss this evening. But let me tell you this. I don't know. You can tell me. It's okay. How many of you have seen the latest Mission Impossible film? People proudly raising their hands. One guy back there, I appreciate him very much. He's an honest player, and I respect him. But he may also know what I'm about to say. Because the new Mission Impossible movie focuses on AI, artificial intelligence, and an out-of-control artificial intelligence system that is taking over the nuclear arsenals of the world. One country after another, and so that ultimately this technology controls the nuclear weapons of the world. And it is not taking them over to advance the cause of peace. It is taking them over to create dominance for one individual or one group of individuals. And you can watch the movie and say to yourself, wow, you know, that's fantastical. That's what they do in Hollywood. But I wrote a book a number of years ago about AI and about machine learning. I spent a lot of my time with the top scientists in the world on artificial intelligence. And what they say and what I say is you ought to go see the Mission Impossible movie, because the fact of the matter is it tells you about a threat that is real. The fact of the matter is that as we enter into an AI moment where our military decisions can be turned over to technology, which can be programmed to win a war no matter what, and which can move at a rate faster than human brains could ever move, when we enter into an AI moment, the possibility of a nuclear war occurring does not decrease, it dramatically increases. We are closer today to a global nuclear war than any time in our history. I want to repeat that to you. More than the Cold War, more than in the aftermath of World War II, we are closer today because we have technologies that we have not thought through sufficiently to make sure that they are never used to create a circumstance where a nuclear war might occur faster and more completely than our imaginations can even allow us to consider. This is the moment we are in. And so I know there are a million things going on right now. So many things that every one of us who cares about economic and social and racial justice, about saving the planet and about peace, so many things going on. It is so easy to be drawn 1,000 directions. And I want to walk with you in every one of those directions, because we have to make sure that we protect immigrants. We have to make sure that we protect women. We have to make sure that we protect people of color. We have to make sure that we protect working people. There are so many people threatened today by what is happening in Washington. And yet I will tell you, that if we do not avert the threat of nuclear war, every other struggle that we are involved in could become secondary, peripheral, irrelevant. And so I beg you, never give up your first issue. If your first issue is immigrant rights, never give it up. If your first issue is women's rights, never give it up. If your first issue is workers' rights, never give it up. But please join me in making your second issue eliminating nuclear weapons. Right? I don't ask you to change who you are. I just want you to add one more thing to your plate. And let us go and tell our friends and our neighbors and our family members that as we enter this AI age, this artificial intelligence age, which really could cure so many diseases and can make so many of our lives so much better, as we enter this age, let us lead the fight for a global treaty that says AI will never be used to advance nuclear weapons or nuclear proliferation on this planet. We did a global treaty to keep nuclear weapons out of the skies. We have fought for that for generations. Let us now fight to make sure that our technology on Earth does not make nuclear war more possible. Let us use our technological genius to begin the process of dismantling and eliminating nuclear weapons. And so, brothers and sisters, I could go on and allow you to be bit a few more times. And I just saw a woman go like this. Yes. And I could, there are many more things we could say. But I'll close with this thought. Pope Leo said this morning that as we think about Hiroshima and Nagasaki on this 80th anniversary day, as we ponder it, let us recognize that any solution that ends with mutually assured destruction is not a solution to any problem, right? It's never the answer. And so if it is never the answer, then nuclear weapons can never be the answer. It is time for disarmament. It is time to end proliferation. It is time to recognize and join and support groups like Physicians for Social Responsibility, to literally join them and be a part of it, to join with Vets for Peace, to join with so many other groups, to join with so many religious groups, so many community groups, and say that when we gather next year at this same place, because we do this every year, not just on the 80th anniversary, when we gather next year at this same place, let us be able to say that we have made marked progress toward reducing the threat of nuclear war on this planet. Let us say that we are the peacemakers, and let us recognize that every religion on this planet, every faith tradition tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. Brothers and sisters, solidarity, peace, justice, and float your lanterns. Thank you.
Thank you, John. That was amazing.